Hey everybody, this is Christina again with On Request Magazine, and I am talking again to my friend Joe Scorsone of Flint Face. How are you doing, Joe?
Good, I'm talking to my friend Christina. How are you?
I'm great. It's Friday, the weekend's about to start, so I can't complain.
I'm here, amen. I'm having my little Prius, I'm outside of my house. Things are done. I'm going to take my wife to a movie because we have not stopped working, so
I
have to just go do something.
You know what's funny? I am in my car. I'm sitting in my car outside my house, too.
Are you?
That is no lie.
Well, on the record, let me be honest. I'm actually sitting outside of someone else's house, watching them through their window.
Oh, God.
I do that every Friday night.
Yeah, that's typical for me, too, except I didn't have anywhere to go, so I just decided to stay here.
I mean, once the cops come, I gotta go.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we could do it mobile. It's cool. It's cool. Well, let's talk about your new album that's about to drop on the 22nd. It's called Hope, and I'm kind of already in love with it already, but we'll talk more about that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's so good. But you know, tell me a little bit about this, because, you know, this, first of all, let's give credit to the producer, Ross Hogarth. Amazing producer. Oh my gosh, so good. And, you know, I just think that you couldn't have picked a better person to work with for what you're trying to do here. So tell us a little bit about that, about working with Ross.
You know, if it wasn't for Ross, this record wouldn't be so awesome. I mean, I wrote the songs, I wrote the lyrics and wrote almost all the music. I had some co-writing on a few of the songs. But when Ross got it, it was funny. He was helping me articulate what I was trying to say. I think any good producer will do that, because an artist needs that. Most artists, I guess. I'm sure there's some unbelievable artists out there that don't, but I needed that, where I needed someone to help me. You know, it's like if you have a joke or something that only you laugh at, and it might actually be a funny joke, but you're probably just using the wrong delivery or something.
Right.
And that's what happened with my songs. I had something I wanted to say. I had something I wanted to convey. And Ross not only brought the songs together, made them really sound great. Like, I'm a fan of my record because everybody on my record is a celebrity except for me. He brought together like musicians I would never have access to, or talent that, you know, that is beyond my years, with Tim Pierce on guitar and Ronnie Joffe on keys, Jesse Green, and, I mean, the list goes on. There's just Kenny Aronoff. There's so many killer musicians on the record that I wouldn't have had if it wasn't for him and his connections and friendships and relationships. He offered that to me, and I can't ever thank him enough for that. So he brought them together. He produced, he's a killer engineer, too, made the record sound great, and I love it because of that reason. I love listening to it because
Joe from, no, I'm just kidding. No, I agree. I mean, I think it came together so amazingly. I mean, I was listening to it again this morning, and, you know, when you get ready for an interview, you know, for me, I guess I'll give you a little window into what I do. You know, I've already heard the record and whatnot, and as I'm about to talk to the artist, you know, I'm going to listen to it again, and I may just sort of, you know, skim through the songs. But, you know, I sat there this morning, and I'm listening to each and every track all the way through, because I just didn't want to skip anything. I wanted to just absorb it all again, because it's just so good. So it's a very uplifting record. And it just makes you feel good when you listen to it. That's what I want everyone out there to know is, you know, if you need something, we're always in the mood for different things in music, you know, whether you're just having a really bad day and you want to listen to Break Stuff by Limp Bizkit, or if you're, you know what I mean? That's like my go-to song on a really bad day. It's like, gosh, Break Stuff, or you just want to feel really good. I mean, this is one of those records that just makes me feel really good. So anyway. My take on the record.
Friday, that's kind of the point of it. I'm so glad. Yeah, if it's hard to upfront about it. It's hard to write a positive song. One of the co-writers that initially helped me write before I met Ross, that was the biggest struggle, is like, I'd write a song and I wanted it to be something more like a positive message, and it's really easy to be campy or literal and cheesy, like, never give up, don't fall down, you know, I don't know. And this guy, you know, the first gentleman, Alec Henninger, who helped me initially with the record before I met Ross and it took off, I mean, I had to delete, or I had to rewrite. When you're feeding it, I had to write that, like, five times. Like, I mean, from scratch. Like, I can't even tell you some of the corny ideas I had. And it's hard to say something positive without being cheesy or... And so...
You mean, I think, kind of like I get knocked down, but I get up again? That sort of thing.
Yeah, because that's what you're trying to say, but, you know... But I think the thing that helps, too, is hope. It's called Hope, the record. And for me, hope is not... obvious. I think we've talked about this before in the past, that hope is not my go-to emotion or feeling. It's generally the despair, the fear, the stress. Hope is this very tiny light surrounded by a lot of darkness, a lot of reality, but I do believe hope always exists, so we have to fight for it, and we have to struggle to find it. So I think if you listen to the record, it's not a, you know, a pick yourself up and don't give up, buddy, you know, kind of feeling, I guess, for me at least, the way I interpret it is more like, you know, I guess you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to look for that hope. It's there, though.
Right.
And, yeah, so.
It's motivational. That's what I get. It's motivational.
Sure. Oh, good. So. Okay, that's a good way to say.
I mean, you're right. I mean, there is darkness there, but you have to see beyond it. And I think it's easy to see beyond it, you know, with what you did. So,
thanks.
Let's talk about Army of Rejects. That's your current single, right? And that's the video that just came out not long ago. And what a great video. That was awesome. What was the concept? Like, how did you come up with that concept for shooting it on the streets of New York and just sort of, you know, gathering, you know, some actual real people and looking into their lives?
You know, the song being Army of Rejects, I think reject immediately comes off negative, and reject in my mind, when I wrote it, or when I think of the Army of Rejects, is really, it's embracing and empowering that part of yourself that others may reject, but it's what makes you who you are. Even the record, it's not about my story and me finding my way through the darkness to light. It's really about our story. So when I speak about what a song's about, that's my interpretation. I want people to interpret these songs from their point of view, their life experiences, and the way they hear them. That's so. Someone says, "What's the song mean?" It means what you think it means, whatever it means to you. But Army of Rejects to me means it was about our stories, all of our, not my story, but your story, my story. That's why I had people sign a guitar. We're equally important in our, you know, just because I'm on stage or it's my record, it's not, who cares? You know, it's about all of our stories, or what the inspiration is, us carrying each other through, our testimonies are, you know, this is what I've been through, and this is what I've been through, and encouraging each other through our story. So I didn't want to, like, be a video of me rocking out, well, let's be real, lip syncing my own song, you know, like, on a fake stage with a tight shot. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I wanted this video to be about the Army of Rejects, about our story. So David Cleason and Jocko, they guys who put the video together and did a killer job. They just walked around New York City for 4 days, and just shot people in their environment. Those people are all people there doing their thing. Like, we don't know any of them. It's not like, I only know one or two of them. A couple friends were in the video, but for the most part, it's just everyone on the streets of New York just being their beautiful selves and their beautiful faces, and I love watching that video because of that reason. It's really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. I mean, I love the whole style of it, and excuse me, I mean, I kind of get that feeling, too, when I go into L.A., and, I love to just sort of watch people and see what they're doing and realize that, you know, there's a whole big world out there outside of your own problems and your own, you know, everything that you're dealing with. You know, everyone has their stuff that's going on, so it was kind of nice to see that you use that as a concept for that song, and it fits perfect. You know, it really does, so...
Absolutely right. You said it best. That's exactly what it is.
Great. Thank you.
There's a world outside of your own. That's the point, I guess.
That's right. That's right. And it's hard to remember that sometimes. So I applaud you for all that you do. You know that.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, you are currently touring, right? So this is going to be going through August, and you just recently played Summerfest, I think, I was told.
Yeah, in Milwaukee. Yeah, that was really cool.
I can imagine. So many, so yeah. Many people on that lineup. I mean, it's endless. I couldn't even begin to mention everybody. So, you know, how was that experience? Is that one of the biggest festival situations you've been involved in?
Yeah, I think their claim is the biggest festival in America. There's a lot of people there, though. I mean, whether it was or wasn't, there's a ton of people there. And, you know, we got to share the stage with Joan Jett and Berlin, and it was cool. I mean, it was like, I think, though, it's funny how whenever we play a show, it's like we find our audience amidst the crowd. You find your people that they come up to you and they're like, I got what you're saying there. You know, I know what you were saying in that song. And it's like, I don't know what they mean, but you sometimes know what they mean. But I like that they interpreted the song from their point of view and it meant something. And so it was like out of all the people around, there was just a big portion of people that just came up afterward and were like, oh man, that song, I really got that. You know, and I'm glad they can hear the lyrics. I know sometimes due to sound or environments or whatever, it's hard to hear the lyrics live.
Right.
And so it's really important to me, like, when we set up and all, to make sure people hear what I'm saying. So, yeah, it was great. I hope I get invited back. I want to do it again for sure.
Well, that's what I love about big festivals, you know, whether it's, you know, that or if it's, like, we cover Warped Tour every year, and one of the things I love seeing is, you know, the bands that, you know, maybe aren't as well-known, or, you know, they aren't playing the main stage necessarily, or what have you, and they start playing, and you see people who were there to come see, you know, certain bands, and they start trickling over, and, you know, soon they have this huge crowd, because, you know, people can relate to what they're doing, and I think festivals are great for that, so I really love it when summer comes around and those things happen. And I'm glad that, you know, you got to be seen, you know, by so many people. You know, that's, I think, the name of the game, right?
It's great. I definitely want to keep doing them. Hopefully next year we'll be busy with summer festivals all over the place. Just get some good deodorant and suntan lotion for my head. Some sunscreen for my bald head, and we're good to go.
That's right.
You
gotta start buying some hats that are kind of ventilated, or maybe there's an SPF like 150, something like that.
I'm just going for a big sombrero or something. Yeah.
A big umbrella. Just get like some really cool rocking umbrella to put behind you. There you go. Yeah, I like
some
that.
Rock and roll, like a scorpion and a snake. Battling on it or something, really.
That's right.
I don't know.
I like that. Some of the devil horns or something. I don't know. Just to catch people's attention. I like it.
Next to the old lady with her umbrella. At least mine looks cool.
That's,
anyway,
that's right.
I definitely hope we're full up a festival next time around. It was great.
Yeah, I hope so too. And I hope some are in California. Hello, hint. But that's another story. That's another story. So let's talk about the next possible single off of your record. I know it's early, but do you have one in mind?
I think there's a couple, you know, Ready For It will definitely be out there again. I know we're kind of re-releasing that as a single soon, and that one is going over really well live, so there's a good meaning in that song for me, so I hope it does. And then The Bottom, or Hope, it's called now, or The Bottom, is also another one I can see coming out as a single. That one, I think, is probably my favorite lyrically on the record. It's probably my favorite song, so.
Yeah, one of mine, too. You know, I also really liked Rocksteady. That was cool.
That was a fun one.
I liked that a lot. And as far as powerful songs go, Did I Stutter is pretty amazing. So.
Yeah, that's a fun one to play live. I enjoy that. That's my aggro song where I get to, like, you know, sweat a little more and jump a little higher.
There you go. I like that. Well, now I want to put you on the spot here because I am waiting not so patiently for you to do a live lounge for me.
Am I supposed to be?
Yeah. I don't know how familiar you are with it, but, you know, basically you just record on your end a song that you want to record, you know, stripped down or acoustic, what have you, or you don't even have to go totally stripped down. But I would love to hear you do, I think Ready For It would be great, or Hope. Those were my two, you know, favorites, I think would be great for the Live Lounge. We're getting submissions for that, like, all the time, and I would love for you to do it. Tough, but I think Ready For It would sound really cool.
Deal. Done.
All right. Good. I'm going to be patiently waiting. Impatiently waiting. But, yeah.
Done.
So, no pressure. No pressure at all.
If I'm off key, you know, let's just do this. Let's have fun. And I'm going to do it in my barn, so we'll have birds flying around and everything. It'll be great.
Ooh, that'll be cool. I like it. All right. Well, then, let me ask you this. After this tour that ends in August, do you have any other plans or anything you can announce that you're going to be doing to support the record?
Definitely plans. Nothing I can announce yet, but we're already planning on booking up and have some things going. And my hope and goal is to be on the road constantly promoting the record, promoting the message. And the best part of playing shows, period, is meeting people and hearing their stories, literally, like, I'm usually the last guy to leave any venue. I love hanging out at the merch booth or anywhere, just letting people just tell me where they're from, what they've done, what they're about, and, you know, it's fantastic. It's the motivation and purpose in my mind for all this.
I love that. I love that you have that attitude, and fans appreciate that so much, so I think that's great. And I am selfishly now going to ask you, when are you coming to the West Coast?
I'll tell you, we're working our way out. I know we're going to be in Boulder and Denver in the beginning of August, so it seems like we're inching our way over to the other
ever
ocean.
So but slowly.
If you put a gig together, I'll be there in a heartbeat. I'll figure it out. I mean, because I, you know, Ross is out there and other folks I know and care about are out there, and I would love to play the West Coast anytime. We're definitely working our way out, but she can expedite the process with a good gig. I'll be there.
All right. Don't even tempt me, because I will. I have a couple venues of mine already now that you're talking, so.
Even if it has to be Beth and I and acoustic guitar without the whole band, whatever, we'll figure it out. We'll make it work.
All right. That's a deal. I'm going to get to work on it. So don't be surprised when you start getting a call saying, we're booking your flight.
Let me tell you, I have played some wackadoo venues in the last 14 years. I'll show up anywhere, anytime. So you name the place and I'll figure it out. I'll be there, no problem.
All right, cool, deal. All right, so yeah. Now we're to the part of the interview, which I don't know if you remember, but you get to ask me a question to take us out of the interview.
All right, I do remember this. This is such a tough one. I don't want to ask you the same one as last time, so... last time we were a little heavy about stuff, so we'll talk a little lighthearted about...
All right, so
when you listen to Limp Bizkit, let's talk about some aggressive music. do you drive more aggressively, you got your Limp Bizkit on, what has been the... All right, here we go, sorry, I gotta stop thinking out loud and working through my thoughts publicly.
Yeah, right?
Keep my mouth. Here we go, ready?
I'm ready.
What was the last incident in your life that made you so angry that you were popping in some biscuit?
You're something else, because something did just happen that totally made me feel that way.
Be honest, as long as it doesn't get you in trouble, be honest.
No, it won't get me in trouble, but seriously, you're going to see like a totally different side to me, because you probably know me as this mellow sort of person, but there's nothing that ruffles my feathers more than this that happened the other day, okay? Here we go. So, I don't know what it is, if it's everywhere or if it's just in the area that I live. But it seems like it never fails when I'm going to the grocery store that the people have completely lost any sense of manners, of common courtesy. So, you know, you could be, you know, standing there, you know, looking for your product, and they will go right in front of you and push you out of the way, literally. And
I know. Yeah.
It drives me crazy. And usually I try and just rein all that in, and I'm pretty good about it. But, you know, there have been occasions where, you know, I will sort of have to, you know, say excuse me or what have you to kind of get people to realize you're being rude. So the other day I'm in line, I'm actually putting my products on the little belt to check out, and my daughter is with me. And there's a lady who's in front of us who, whether she forgot something or what have you, I'm not sure what her deal was. She was looking for someone she was with. And she started coming through, like back through that tight little space that you're in when you're checking out. And and pushing her way through without really saying, oh, excuse me, can I get past you? Or, you know, something that you should have learned when you were five. And was pushing the cart actually into me. And
wow.
To get through.
You weren't getting out of her way. Of course
oh,
you should.
Oh, right. I should have just known.
But
yeah, her mental telepathy should have told me that, yeah, she needed to get through.
Yeah.
So as she's doing that, I said, excuse me, I can move the cart. You know, if you need to get through, I'll do it. And so she sort of took off in a huff and went the opposite way and left her stuff on the little belt. And, you know, the time came to check out and she wasn't there. So they started to put her stuff aside and check me out. And I already had looked at my daughter and said, you know, she's going to come back right at this moment. So just be prepared, right? So she came back, of course, came the opposite way where she should have already been done and out, and started pushing her way back through the opposite way to get back in line. And as she's doing it, she pushes my daughter.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that just wasn't even a good thing to do, Joe. It was not a good thing to
gosh.
Do.
Mama Bear. Mama
Bear cut came out. And, and you know, as it is, my daughter is already feeling totally claustrophobic in the whole situation.
Right.
And I know this because I know my daughter. And this lady's pushing her way back through and pushes her. And that's when I just say, Whoa, no, you need to stop and slow down and do not push my daughter. And, you know, she looked at me like like she had no realization of her surroundings or that, you know, she was being completely rude. And she said, I pushed her. And I said, yeah, you did. And you need to move. You do not want to go into this with me right now.
Right.
You know, and she's looking at me like, you know, she's thinking I'm in the wrong here, and the people at the store who worked there are going, lady, you better back off and slow down, because they could see as soon as she touched my daughter that it was over for me.
Right, green flesh and corn pants coming out of
something. Exactly. I mean, all I needed to say was, you don't want to see me when I'm angry, you know, so, but, you know, she actually stopped after that and didn't say anything after a couple minutes of trying to like argue her point. And I was just like, that's when I could have gone out and put in my Limp Bizkit and just let it fly. Because, you know,
that's where Lamb of God really comes in.
There you go. I like that. Born of Osiris, you know, put it in there.
So, I got a bonus question before I go over, so I'll ask you real quick.
Okay.
What was she buying? Was this like all over a cantaloupe and a Pert Plus, or what was this all over?
You know what? It's funny because I really didn't scrutinize what she was buying as much as what she was doing. So, she didn't have that much even on there. And she was looking for her daughter who, you know, and that's why she was like looking around. But, you know, to me, it's like I've been in that situation, like whether you forget something or, you know, I'm looking for my kid or what have you. And never has it, you know, left my brain to just do the, you know, say the easiest things like, oh, excuse me. You know, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
It's really not that hard. But don't get physical because then I have a problem. You know,
maybe she grew up working at a carnival in the bumper cart. You know?
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe it was just something from a kid. Yeah, but I can see where some aggro music would make sense and
The
steering wheel punching. Fair enough.
You know, I should have had Did I Stutter in my CD player. That would have been good, because that would be like, you know what? just say, excuse me, did I stutter? You know? So.
We don't hit, we use our words, and we go and listen to some stutter, and we feel better. That's why music is killer. I love it. That's a really cool story. Thank you for sharing your candid moment at the grocery store.
Well, thank you for asking. That was a very unique question and perfect timing, so thank you. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go, and we're going to have this up on the podcast very, very shortly. And our review is coming, and best of luck with the record. I think it's amazing. So everyone go check out Flint Face on Facebook, iTunes, Reverb, anywhere that he is, you need to check him out. Seriously, do yourself a favor.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care, my friend, and hopefully I'll see you soon in California.
Yeah, I'll be waiting. Take care.
All right, you too. Bye. Bye.